This morning, we light the Advent candles for love, and we remember that of all the things God gives us at Christmas, the greatest gift of all is the love he's shown us through his Son. And so I've asked my friend Zara to come and to help me with our call to worship this morning. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Share the good news of God's love.
Be the voice that cries out in the wilderness.
Go forth to share love of God.
Sing of God's steadfast love forever.
Tell the good news to all generations.
Share the story again and again of the Word becoming flesh.
We are the story. We are the living story of God's love.
Let us sing and worship God who is doing a new thing about to spring forth. Would you pray with me? Father God, we have joined in this place this morning to sing again of your love. We have come to this place again this morning to prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ in us again and again. We have come to this place this morning, young and old, to proclaim together all the generations that our God is good and our God has come and our God is coming again. And so, Father, would you move freely in this place? Would you stir our hearts anew with your love? And moments from now, would you send us from this place to share your love and your light with this world? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You will open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Would you pray with me? And Father God, now, as we turn to your word, to this ancient story that is our story, would you make it new in us today? Oh God, we've heard about these shepherds 1,000 times over. Would you help us get to know them as if for the first time today? We are in this place because we want to hear from you, O God. And so would your Spirit move freely within us and among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. So you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A baby being born is a big deal. Most families, whenever mom goes into labor, grandmas and grandpas, aunts, uncles, cousins, next door neighbors, best friends, they all make their way to the hospital, anxiously pacing in the waiting room, waiting to get word that all is well, that mom and baby are fine, that there's 10 fingers, that there's 10 toes. And they jump at that first invitation they get to go back in the room and join mom and the baby and hold that child in their arms. It's a big deal. Lately, this celebration of the welcoming these new lives to earth, it starts way before that hospital visit. It seems more and more that young couples aren't really doing it right if they don't welcome the baby before the baby ever comes. And they're doing it in this form of these things called gender reveal parties. You know about those? They are a thing. Thousands upon thousands of Pinterest pages and ideas. One of them, parents will send a sealed envelope to their baker. They don't know what's in it. The baker opens it up, sees if it's a boy or a girl, and they make little cupcakes. And in the middle of the cupcake, they stuff it with pink or blue frosting. And then mom and dad get the cupcakes back, and they have all the people in the world to their house. And they, on three, take a bite of the cupcake at the same time, and they turn it around, and everybody sees what color is the frosting. And they ooh, and they ah, and they welcome the baby before there ever even is a baby. Sometimes whenever I get bored, maybe I'm a little bit sadistic, but I like to watch videos of gender reveal parties gone wrong. Have you ever seen those? There are some good ones out there. There's this one from, I think, like 2 summers ago, where there's this off-duty border patrol agent in Arizona who sets up this target with this big bullseye that says, boy, ?girl? And he's going to shoot the target. And the plan is that when the bullet hits the target, it's going to explode into blue or pink smoke. And so he filled the target with some kind of highly explosive substance. And he shoots it and gets a big old cloud of blue smoke and a massive grass fire, 47,000 acres to go along with it. Cost him $8 million that he will pay throughout his life. An explosive welcome for a child to be. There's my favorite. It's got this one, it says family in their backyard, and it's mom and dad and all the people they ever knew in their life. And they have this big, huge black balloon. And the dad has his baseball bat, and he's going to just hit the balloon until it pops. And when it pops, it's supposed to come out pink or blue. And so he's hitting it, and he keeps not getting it to pop, and all the people are making fun of him. So he just whacks it really hard, and the whole balloon comes loose from the thing holding it down and flies up in the air. And they all start screaming, no, no, we're never going to know what the child is going to be. The gender has flown away. The gender reveals there's something these days. It's like every couple is trying to outdo the next one on how to do it the best. It turns out, though, that the way that we welcome babies, it's always been a big deal. Near and far, families many, many years ago, up until today. And that only gets amplified when the baby-to-be is royalty, right? Each time William or Harry's wives are expecting, oh my goodness, it's like the only thing you hear on the news for 9 straight months. And we're in America. It's everywhere. Paparazzi, they're camping outside of doctors' offices and hospital rooms, just dying for a shot of the pregnant belly and then of the newborn. Everyone's arguing over what the name should be. Celebrities and politicians, they come to meet and greet this child. The world loves to welcome baby kings. Except for this one king that took his first breath on earth 2,000 years ago, give or take, with the strangest welcome we've ever seen. A king born in a space shared with barn animals, laying in a feeding trough, miles from the palace, under the cover of darkness. Most people so caught up in the busyness of the census that they walked right by, as if it was just another mouth to feed. Welcomed to just a humble mom and a perplexed dad and some outsiders, smelly and ragged, coming in from the fields with their sheep. An unusual welcome for a king. And yet that's my king. And yours too, I believe. So we've got to spend some time this morning, this Sunday before Christmas, hanging out with those very first people who got to welcome Jesus, the brand new king, the shepherds, not the ones you would expect for such an occasion. God come to earth. You'd expect the high priest to be there. And if not the high priest, at least some really devout religious people. They would at least know the right prayers to pray over this baby. They would at least know how to bestow the proper blessings upon him. And if not the high priest and not the religious people, you'd expect the governors and the mayors and those in authority to come close to befriend their competition. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer, they say. They'd be there, you'd think, to get in good with this up and coming king. His own extended family, you'd expect them there to dote upon the baby with Mary and Joseph by his side. But according to Luke, it's just mom and dad. And eventually, there's this knock on the door. And no priest, no mayor on the other side, but some shepherds come from the fields to join them around the manger. Shepherds, who are they? Outsiders, we know that much. They're the marginalized. They're the ones who are always on the other side of life, the other side of parties, the other side of decisions, just looking in. They didn't run the show at City Hall, not by any means, and they were never the ones to reach their capacity limit on Facebook friends. They maybe had two when they had a Wi-Fi connection. They were the unknown, the pushed out. Those who were left to work in the fields under the cover of darkness, happy enough to be unseen, uneducated, poor, dirty, unclaimed. Not the ones expected to properly welcome a new king. And yet, if we're honest, we know more about being shepherds than we like to admit, don't we? All of us have been the ones left out, have we not? All of us have been the ones who heard from the time we were little bitty, be seen and not heard. All of us can think of those times that we felt like we were the ones on the outside looking in. At people whose lives were more complete than ours, whose kids were better behaved, whose marriages seemed happier and healthier, whose jobs were more lucrative and they worked less hours than us, whose health was to be envied. We have all been those people who've walked by a group of friends gathered around a table laughing together and felt that longing deep inside of us to get a seat around such a table. We all know what it feels like to think that nothing we really do is really going to make a difference at all in this big old broken world anyway. Because we're just us. Not articulate enough, not accomplished enough to have earned right enough to be heard. We know what it's like to work off the grid, out of sight, to pour out all we've got in 40 hours at the end of the week, not a single thank you for anything we have done. Sheep we have not, But we know what it feels like to stand in shepherd's shoes. Do we not? And yet it's the shepherds, the outsiders, the loners, the forgotten, the pushed aside of all people that the angel and then the host of angels choose to grace with their appearance and their promise and their heavenly song. The first humans to get to hear angels singing together. Can you imagine the sound of that? These were the ones that when God came to earth, that he wanted to be greeted by first. Wow. Before any king or priest or popular insider, these were the ones that the Christ child first wanted his eyes to meet. These were the ones. My friends, who are feeling more alone than usual this Christmas. My friends who feel like an outsider in your very own family every Christmas. My friends who've been told one too many times that you've got nothing of importance to say. No concerns or ideas that we have any time to hear. Would you lean in this morning? Because Emmanuel, that is God with us, still is looking for his welcome here on earth. And he would love for us outsiders to welcome him most of all. Because it turns out that everyone feels a little lost in the crowd. Everyone feels a little unappreciated. And in our seeing the king, and in our welcoming him here, other outsiders, they start to see and welcome him too. The welcome, God come to earth. It started with those shepherd outsiders way back then. And it continues with us outsiders right here and right now. God has always had a special, special place in his heart for the outsider. And I don't know about you, but that is good news for this outsider. Merry Christmas. Besides being shepherds, what else made these ones the ones that God chose to welcome him to earth? Several things, as usual. One, shepherds do their very best work in darkness. It's under the cover of night that the wolves and the thieves sneak in. That's when the shepherds most have to be on their guard. Their staff and their rod ready, their bodies between that sheep pen and that open field. While the enemies who dwell in darkness hover around the sheep, shepherds have to keep an eye open, watching their flocks by night, ensuring that life will overcome this period of darkness. It's in the dark hours that the sheep see their shepherd's willing heart, this willingness to put some skin in the game to keep them alive. It's in the night that the sheep learn to trust their shepherd. One sunrise at a time, they see that he had their backs again and again and again. The sheep get to know their shepherd's heart as they watch him care for them in those vulnerable long nights. That's when they see that he's right there with them, seeing them through. Emmanuel, God, come to be with us. To see us through our long season of sin and despair and death. God, come to put flesh in the game to show us how much he loves us. Makes sense that shepherds were the first to welcome Jesus, the Lamb of God. Does it not? They get what it is to lay their lives on the line, to see that life will come out of darkness every time. And just think about how often our God does his very best work in the dark. Babies grow in the darkness of a womb. Seeds, they break open in the dark underground, coming to life before any human eye sees. Jesus began to breathe in the darkness of a sealed up tomb. God loves to work under the cover of darkness. Just when we start to think that the fear is just too much, and the night is too long, and the grief is too overwhelming, and that loss is too final, so often that is when God is just getting ready to show us just how intensely his heart beats for us. And just what depths he's willing to go to save us and love us and simply hold us the whole night through. Just like sheep, we don't love the night. We'd rather it be daytime, when we can go out in the fields and eat and drink and leap and play. But the night we struggle with, those vulnerable times. And yet that's when we get to know the heart of our God. We have fun in the day, but my friends, we grow up in the dark. Jesus' first welcome on earth came from those who did their very best work in the dark. You see, they knew this baby's heart before any other one knew, because they had sat patiently with God in the dark so many nights before this one. They shared their life with the God who holds us tightest in the dark. My friends who are in a dark season this year, for whatever reason, you may know it, you may not know it, you may just feel it. Hold on. Hold on. Because our God does his very best work in those places. Don't rush the darkness. Life takes some time to grow. The shepherds saw God's heart revealed to those who sit in darkness. And you will too. Corrie Ten Boom, Holocaust survivor and an incredible woman of faith, she said this, and I love it. She said, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. This Christmas, my friends, might you welcome Jesus into your places of darkness. Don't ignore them. Don't usher them on too soon. Might you invite Jesus into them and encounter God's heart in a new way that will grow you for good. The shepherds, these were men familiar with darkness, and they were the first ones to welcome Jesus to earth. And that is no surprise at all when we remember that our God has always done his very best work in the dark. Sit with him there. He knows where this train is going. The shepherds, they got to welcome Jesus to earth because they were familiar with hanging out with God in darkness. And because they were awake when everyone else was sleeping. Literally, they were up watching their flocks while the townspeople were nestled in their beds with visions of sugar plums in their heads. But they were also awake metaphorically. when others couldn't be stirred from their slumber at the cries of this newborn baby, their eyes and their hearts were wide open to a brand new word from God. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. This day. Those who are awake to God when everyone else has fallen asleep, they get to welcome Jesus to our home this day, again and again and again. I saw a movie the other night called A Hidden Life. It's 3 hours long. It's worth it. It's a true story about an Austrian farmer, a devout Catholic, who refused to stand up and fight for the Nazis during World War II. He was part of this little peasant community, and he watched as slowly every single person in his little community jumped on the bandwagon and began to support the German initiative. They'd pass him on the road, and they'd hail Hitler, and he would stand there and refuse to return the gesture. They began to think he was crazy. Then they began to ridicule him and ostracize his family, throw stones at his kids. The priest came in and tried to talk him out of his craziness. They said, even if you don't believe it, just say it. God knows your heart. He didn't say much in the movie. But when he did speak up just once, he said, there's just something in my heart that says who they say the enemy is isn't really the enemy. And I just have a hunch that Hitler is wrong. Those words were a death wish in Austria in the 1930s. He said, I just can't follow someone who my heart says is wrong. And he suffered greatly for his choice. But his soul remained pure. Because when everyone around him was asleep to the evil in their midst, awake, he saw what was true and refused to join in. In such a dark time in our world's history, there was this tiny glimmer of light from a man who stayed awake to God's heart breaking and beating when everyone around him seemed to have lost their way and fallen asleep into numbness, if nothing else. The movie reminded me of another man from a picture that I saw a while back. I think I even shared it here. It's going to be up there again. It's a picture of hundreds of young Germans, 1936, hailing Hitler. Then there's this one. See? Arms crossed, not having it. And a crowd full of folks just going along with it. There stands one man saying, I don't buy that way. Again, a death wish. He was killed for this. Standing in a crowd full of people, totally asleep to the Jesus way. That is the way of compassion and love and humility and grace and kindness. This man stayed awake and dared to be different. And I don't know about you, but through him, I see Jesus sneaking into one of the darkest pictures I have ever seen and finding a welcome in such a bleak scene. The shepherds were awake, ready to see God's heart, while everyone else around was sound asleep. My friends, are we awake today? Are we awake? Have we grown numb to all that's around us that simply shouldn't be? Do we just go with it when whatever it is evil, looking out for number one, immoral, no care for neighbor or stranger or enemy? Is it just easier to just go with it? Are we so consumed by the busyness of our lives that we're unable to even recognize when God comes and his life sneaks in right next to ours? Have we gotten so comfortable with our little place in the world that we've fallen asleep to suffering around us. Might we wake up? Wake up! Because Jesus is awake to those who are hurting. And Jesus sneaks in exactly when things aren't as they should be. And people notice and it bothers them. And Jesus makes his appearance known in those places and to and through those people who refuse to fall asleep in the face of death. Wake up to God, who's sneaking into the broken places of our very own community. Do we see those places? And might we dream God's dreams with him in them? And might we refuse to ever put his name on something that's not of him? Stay awake to the heartbeat, the footprints, the indwelling of God among us, and we will be the very ones to welcome him here to our home of all places. The shepherds, they were awake to God when everyone else was asleep, and they got to welcome Jesus to our earthly home. And I don't know if you're aware, but we are surrounded by people who are sound asleep, you guys. Dare I say, sometimes in this very room. And I'm not talking about babies. They're usually awake during this time. But not today. But not today, my friends. Today, we dare wake up to God, even if we are the only ones looking for him. Today, we dare to stand tall and different, even with our arms crossed if we have to, while everyone else bows down to all other kinds of kings and kingdoms, not us. Today, we wake up to the Jesus way and welcome Jesus to our home again, right here and right now. We got to know that Jesus, to know his way. And to make it known, do we know him? Is he the one that we are hailing, and only he? Finally, those shepherds, they heard from God's angels, and hearing, they followed. And following, they shared. The angels told them what had just happened. The Messiah was born. And they told them how to find him. They said, this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth lying in a manger. The angels departed, and the shepherds, notice, they didn't waste a second. It says, with haste, they went to Bethlehem, to the place the angel said they'd find him. And they didn't stop looking till they found that baby. And you know, they didn't have to go that night. They were on the clock. They could have at least waited until morning when the wolves and the thieves weren't around so much. Or they could have at least maybe sent one shepherd to go check it out, report back, let them know if it was really worth their time. They could have waited until they figured out who would watch the sheep while they were gone. They didn't. They didn't. Hearing the angel's invitation with haste, they took off to find this infant king. They weren't gonna miss it. And seeing him, they told Mary and Joseph everything that they had heard. They didn't keep a single word to themselves. They knew in their hearts this wasn't about them. This was God's story to share. The very first ones to welcome Jesus to earth were ones who, hearing from God, would gladly follow and generously share all that they had received. My friends, I ask this morning, can the same be said of us? Do we hear from God? Are we spending enough time in our lives even engaging our Father? seeking to know his voice and to listen, fully present when he speaks, and hearing, do we eagerly, joyfully follow wherever he leads, whatever he asks, not waiting for a better plan to come, not sending someone in our place to check it out and let us know if it's worth our time, not stalling until morning or next week or, well, we'll just wait till the new year, holidays are busy. But right when God says to us, there is a place that I'm doing something new and I want you to come and be with me there, right then do we go? And following, do we share what God has made known to us to those who are longing to know him too? The first ones to welcome Jesus to earth, God knew that they couldn't keep it to themselves. When God is ready to do the next new thing among us, does he look at us and say the same thing? Can you hear God's voice in heaven saying, oh, I'm ready to do something big in Belfair. Angels, get ready and go call out to him or to her, because when you call, I know they're going to hear because they're listening. And in hearing, don't worry, angels, I know they're going to follow. And in following, don't you guys worry, because I know they're going to share it. They won't be able to keep this good news of great joy for all the people to themselves. They know that that would just be so selfish. They won't do it. Don't worry. Tell them, angels. Tell them. Can that be said of us? Jesus, welcome to our home this Christmas. We are the outsiders. We are the folks who know darkness more than we lie. We are the ones trying for the life of us to stay awake when our community is sound asleep. And we are listening, so eager to follow and share. We're an unusual bunch, no doubt about it. But Jesus, might we be so honored to welcome you to our home. The unusual welcomes seem to be your very favorite kind after all. So let our lives be the kinds that welcome you here, O Jesus. Our hearts, your home. Our community, your front porch. Let that be so of us, O Jesus, the Messiah who has come. Would you pray with me? O God, for my friends who are sitting in darkness this morning, in this tender moment, could they feel your arm around them as you hold them tight in that place and whisper to them, I know where this train is going, and I'm going to sit with you until we get there. God, may their hearts grow in this season that is heavy. Father, for all of us who feel like we just fall asleep over and over and over again, and not talking about the nighttime sleep. Talking about the falling asleep to our neighbors, strangers, those that we've labeled enemies. Falling asleep to the God who is on the move in our midst, missing it in our numbness, our busyness, our whateverness. We give you permission to wake us up today. We don't want to miss you again. And Father, this week, things are about to get busy. And still, we're listening. Still, we're all ears to hear your voice. And still, we've got our tennis shoes right by our front door. And they are ready to be laced up just as soon as you say go. May we be those who, when you call, we hear it. And in hearing it, we follow. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.